John chapter 1, the article in the Washington Post on September 16th, 2009, begin with these words. The king folds her own laundry, chauffeurs her around Washington in a 1992 Honda, and answers her own phone, her boss's phone too. This article was about Pegalene Bartles, secretary to the Guyana Embassy in Washington for over 30 years. She originally was from Guotum, Guam, a small city of about 7,000, and her story is a fascinating one. When the 90-year-old king of Guotum, Guam died, the elders did what they always have done, a ritual to determine the next king. They prayed and poured snaps on the ground while they read the names of the king's 25 relatives. When steam rose from the snaps on the ground, the name that they were reading at the moment would be the new king, and that's exactly what happened when they read Pegalene's name. So now Pegalene is a king. Yes, a king, not a queen. When she pointed out to the elders that she was a woman, they replied by saying, "The office of the king is the post that was open." When she goes back to Guyana, she has a driver and a chef and an 8-bedroom palace, though it needs repair. She has power to resolve disputes, appoint elders, and manages more than 1,000 acres of family-owned land. "I'm a big-time king, you know," she told the reporter. When she returned from her coronation, they cried, they carried her through the streets on a litter. She even wore a heavy golden crown. Paul Schwartzman, the reporter, wrote this: "In the humdrum of ordinary life, people periodically yearn for something unexpected, some kind of gilded escape, delivered, perhaps, by an unanticipated inheritance or a winning a lottery ticket. Pegalene got that unexpected." As you think about Pegalene's story, consider what the Bible says about ordinary believers like you and I. This week we're going to start a new message, a new sermon series, My New Life in Christ. All of us have a new life in Christ when we give our hearts to Jesus. And we're going to talk about today our status as a new Christian. In John chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 11 through 13. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and preach your word this morning and teach your word. We thank you, Lord, for those that are here. We pray for those that could not make it this morning, those that are sick, those that have health problems. We pray, God, that you would heal their bodies and be with them today. We ask you, Lord, you'll be with those that are suffering today in our land. We ask you, Lord, that you'll be with our government as this new Congress takes over. Help us, Lord, to turn back to you and do those things that would honor you in our government. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this message as only you can. Bless the speaker, bless the hearer. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. As we begin our series for January today, My New Life in Christ, we want to consider the tremendous change in status God has given us. God has given us all a new status when we give our hearts to Him. And I don't know if any of you realize you are not the same person you was when you were lost now that you've become a child of God. You have a new status. And first of all, we have a status of adoption into the family of God. When 5-year-old Michelle showed up at the courthouse for an adoption hearing with her foster parents, he found a group of surprised visitors waiting, his entire kindergarten class. Michael's teacher, Miss McKee, got the idea when she encountered Michael's foster mom dropping him off at school. The two of them devised a plan, and McKee organized the field trip, bus, and all. In the year or so since Michael has been with a couple, his father said he's been amazed at how often other children have welcomed Michael into their homes and social services and circles. The highlight of the day was during a portion of the reading where the judge, who never hosted an entire kindergarten class before, asked all the students to explain why they were in support of Michael that day. They all gave touching answers like this: "I love Michael, and Michael is my best friend." When we're adopted as God's children, we're adopted into the family of God. We learn what it means, perhaps for the first time, to know what it is to be part of a loving family. God loves you. That's why He sent His Son to die for you. He sent His Son so that you could be adopted into the family of God. All of us that have given our hearts to Christ are now sons and daughters of God. Amen. We have been adopted into this family. We have been adopted into God's family as heirs and joint heirs with Jesus in heaven. When we get there, we'll sit on thrones that are prepared for us to sit on. We'll judge angels. We'll judge all of those angels. We have authority in heaven. We are God's children, and that is very important. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we can never lose that adoption. Listen, every one of us have been adopted into the family of God. We had our sins forgiven, our past forgotten, and have been given full right as God's sons and daughters. Galatians 4:4-6 says this: "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." We can say God is our Father just like Jesus. We can say we're a son of God just like Jesus can. We are all God's children when we give our hearts to Christ. I have as much right to call God my Father as Jesus does. The term translated Abba Father designates a close family relationship. The closest English equivalent would be Daddy or Papa or something along those lines. Just as I have the right to approach my Heavenly Father based upon our physical relationship, how much more do I have the right to approach and fellowship with my Heavenly Father based on my spiritual relationship that God has given me when I gave my heart to Christ. He gave me the ability to approach God in prayer. He gave me the ability to approach Him through everything, every problem I have, every problem I face in life. God is available, and God wants us to bring all of our cares to Him. He is our Heavenly Father. He is not only Jesus' Father, but He is our Father too. God adopts us as His kids, and He loves us as only a father could. God doesn't adopt me from a distance. He adopts me directly into His family with no distinctions between me and you or anyone else. We are all children of God. We get this through our relationship with Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross, when He gave His life for our sins, He gave us the ability to come into a relationship with God. And as 1 John 1:9 says, as many as believe on Him, notice what verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, that's received Jesus Christ, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That name is Jesus Christ. That name we must believe on is Jesus Christ. When you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you're automatically adopted into God's family. The second change in our status God has given to us is an inheritance beyond our wildest imagination. Galatians 4:7 says this, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want you to notice what Galatians 4:7 says. You are no more a servant, but you are a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir to the throne of God. An heir to heaven. We are an heir to everything God has available to us in this life. Every blessing, everything that we need, everything that we could ever want. We, as God's children, are available to God as His child. That inheritance that we have with Him, we usually think of inheritance as something that we get after the death of someone we know. It is usually a family member. It typically contains all of the valuable things that they possess, such as money, property, land, stocks, or bonds. In the New Testament, the word inheritance is not used exactly like it is in our English language. It is not generally used to speak of obtaining the property of an ancestor upon their death. In the New Testament, the word inheritance is used to describe the future condition and possession of the believer in Christ, following the time when Christ Himself returns and sets up His kingdom. It describes a gift that is waiting for us in heaven. 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read to you what the Bible says about our inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, notice this, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want you to notice what that inheritance entails. Notice it is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It can never be done away with. It can never be destroyed. Listen, things in this life, I don't care what it is, it will deteriorate.
Amen.
It will fade away.
Right.
Even this wood here, if you were to leave this building, if we were not to have services here anymore, this church would eventually decay.
Right.
It's the life of the people in this building that keep this wood alive.
Amen.
If you take a house and you abandon a house, my daughter's got a house right beside her that's in this condition. If you move out of a house and you leave a house, what do you think that wood does?
Amen.
That wood will die.
Amen.
It has to have the life of a human being living in the house to keep that wood alive. And as soon as you move out of that house, it may take 10 or 20 years, but that house will fall down. That wood will die and everything will decay. Listen, my friend, the salvation, the inheritance we have is undefiled, incorruptible, that fades not away. Where is it reserved? In heaven for you. Our inheritance is reserved in heaven for all of those that are God's children. Terry has got her reward right now. She's got her new body. And I hope that it's not that long before I go and join her. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. We all have an inheritance in heaven.
Amen.
Reserved for us. What is that inheritance? It's inheritance of being a child of God. It's inheritance of a home in heaven. It's an inheritance of being God's children. Listen, my friend. And how is it reserved? Look in verse 5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Anybody that tells you you can be saved and lost again need to read this verse. We are kept by the power of God. Who's stronger than God? No one. Who's mightier than God? No one. Who is more powerful than God? No one. God reserves that. God keeps us from falling from salvation. God reserves this, and notice what it says in verse 5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready, notice this, to be revealed in the last time. When is the last time? When we come before Jesus and get our rewards. Number one, our inheritance is pure and undefiled, which means it will never decay. It will not decay. It is eternal. Our inheritance, our gift from God, is to last for all eternity. It is clean, perfect, free from defect, and perfect in His sight. This implies that it is made of God Himself. For only He can create that which is perfect. God has reserved our home in heaven. God has reserved our salvation. Our inheritance is reserved for us. God Himself is holding on to this inheritance. And therefore it is safe and secure as it can be. No one can steal it. No one can alter it. No one can do anything to it. It is the safest place it can be, and that is heaven. Our inheritance is guaranteed. God Himself, with all His power, will make sure that we receive this gift. As children, many of us would count down the days to Christmas or a birthday with hope that a particular present we desired would be waiting for us. Sometime our wish would come true, other times it would not. We are looking forward to an unknown spectacle that our desire would be fulfilled, but never fully knowing until the day actually arrived of our birthday or Christmas. We might end up welcoming that day with rejoicing and finding ourselves feeling a stab of a disappointment. Much of life is like that. But unfortunately, and fortunately, the Christian life is not. God does not give us pipe dreams or pie-in-the-sky wishes. He gives us a promise that we can rely on and the destiny that is secure and sure as this table I'm standing behind today. Listen, my friend, as His children, we can fully expect our Heavenly Father to grant us this inheritance He has set aside for us. It is altogether holy. It is beyond the estimation of value. It cannot and will not perish. We can count on this inheritance that is to come as our present possessions today. God's protection is ours until that great day when our spiritual birthright is fully realized. And when is that? When we get to heaven. That birthright, we will not really experience that birthright as a child of God until we get to heaven with Him. But listen to me, my friend. When you leave this walks alive, as Paul said, it is needful me to stay, but to leave is gain. To die is gain. Listen, my friend, you may like this life. You may enjoy this life. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like the life we'll have in heaven. Amen. It'll be a life of pure joy. It'll be a life of peace. That Satan will not be there to tempt you, to cause you to sin, to cause you to get away from God. Everything there will be perfect. It will have streets of gold to walk on. We'll have a mansion to live in. We're going to have everything that we need there. The Bible says that street of gold has 12 manner of fruits on every side of it for the healing of the nations. Amen. Listen, my friend. We will not need anything once we get to heaven. Our heaven home is guaranteed by God Himself. With all His power, He will make sure that we receive this gift. As many as would count down the days to Christmas, we can count down the days when we go to meet Jesus. We get old in this life. That's part of sin. That was brought into the world through Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created to live all eternity. But what did they do? They gave up that birthright. They chose to follow Satan. And they gave up that birthright. And what happened to them? God told them what would happen to them. The day you eat of that fruit, you shall die. You shall surely die. He didn't mean that exact day they would eat it. He meant that death would be brought on the human race. Death would be brought. That's why we get old today. That's why we grow old. We're born into this world as a child. We grow up. We get old, and then we die. But let me tell you, my friend, this is not our fault. This is not our doing. It was caused thousands of years ago by Adam and Eve when they brought sin into the world, When they sinned against God, they brought death. The Bible says in the book of Romans, death came by one man, but also life came by one man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, Christ gives us new life. Christ gives us eternal life. Christ gives us a new life that we can live in this life, but He also gives us an eternal life that we're going to live in heaven. We'll never die. The Bible says that we'll never get sick. We'll never grow old. We'll never die once we get to heaven. We will never age when we get to heaven. Think about that. When you get to heaven, I don't know how old you're going to be. Many scholars think you'll be the age of Jesus when He went to the cross, 33 and a half years old. I don't know. I can't testify to that because it's not found in the Bible how old we'll be. But I know this. I know the Bible says we will not get sick. We will not get tired. We will not die. We will not leave heaven in a casket and go to a funeral. We will never experience death again when we get to heaven. Listen, my friend. Jesus has assured that by His death on the cross. Listen. Fourthly, our inheritance did not come cheap. In order for us to have an inheritance, it was necessary for Christ to pay a great price. It was necessary for Him to leave His home in heaven, to suffer the humiliation of emptying Himself and putting on flesh, and to die a common criminal's death on a Roman cross. It was necessary for Him to suffer pain, to receive the full weight of our sins, to experience the awful pain of being separated from His Father, even for a brief moment. It was necessary for Him to use His own blood to purchase this inheritance for us, as nothing else was acceptable to God. This is the inheritance that awaits us as a child of God. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that will last forever. It never will fade away. Listen, my friend, you can't do anything to change that. That's guaranteed by God. A third change in status God has given to us is an opportunity to become more like Jesus. When I was young, there was a particular rock star that I idolized. I used to think if I could sing like him, dress like him, and act like him, life would be great. Many years later, whenever I see this man, I'm glad I didn't follow my ill-thought-out dream of becoming like him. That man was Ozzy Osbourne, former lead singer of Black Sabbath, then solo artist, and then the star of a very popular and vulgar TV show on MTV. How much better is it to pattern my life after my big brother Jesus? As a child of God, we know that we are co-heirs with Christ. We know that God has adopted us into His family. We rejoice in the fact that one day Jesus is coming back, and when He does, we will finally understand what it means to be a child of God. For the first time, we will see Him in all His glory and realize that we are, too, share in that glory with Him. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth not Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Listen, my friend, we all know that we will become more like Jesus. Listen, no matter how inspired we are, we know for a little while we have to live in this body. We have to get sick. We have to deal with all the cares of this world, all the cancers of this world, all the heartaches of this world, all the aches and pains that our body goes through. But listen to me very carefully, my friend. When we get to heaven, we'll not have that anymore. In conclusion, you are a child of God if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's incredible news. God has adopted you into his family, made you an heir and co-heir with Christ, and given you the ability and the goal to become more like his son Jesus. Your status has been elevated beyond description. Now here's the big question. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to leave here today and live your life like you've always lived it? Are you going to walk out of this place with the fact that you are God's child in the forefront of your mind? If you're a child of God today, then please begin living like a child of God. Listen, God wants nothing more than to have you in heaven with him. God wants nothing more than you to realize you are a child of God. Your status is not the same that it was when you were lost. When you become a child of God, you are a child of the God of heaven. Yeah. You have been adopted into his family. And listen, my friend, that inheritance that you have can never be done away with. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they might give your heart to you this morning. We pray, God, that you would all help us realize that we are children of God and that we can never lose that status with you, because we are kept by the power of God, and we thank you for that today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus dying on the cross to provide all of these benefits and this new status to us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.